All right.
Blog Talk Radio.
All right, let's let them know. Let's let them know. Come on in here. Come on in. Let's let them know that we are live on YouTube as well. We are live on YouTube. We are live on YouTube. Hold on, y'all. Yes, indeed. Sorry about that. We are live. Sorry about that, folks. Okay. Live screen. Don't forget that the book, Foolish American Politics, let's discuss the issues. All right, my new book is out. Go ahead and purchase that. Foolish American Politics, let's discuss the issues. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Lawyer Henderson podcast show. We are on live on Instagram. We are also live on Blog Talk Radio, YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe. Hit that like button. The Cash App is also there. $Lawyer Henderson 40. Basically, ladies and gentlemen, you are helping to grow the show. And those of you who are on Instagram, go ahead and like the page, like the video if you're on Instagram. Tonight's topic, ladies and gentlemen, is we're going to be talking about the four banks that robbed us during slavery. Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Citibank, and J.P. Morgan Chase. These are the four banks that robbed us during slavery, and they contribute. I mean, they contribute to the slave trade. They had their thievery in the slave trade. They were able to benefit from our enslavement. That's Wells Fargo, which at that time was Wachovia, Citibank, and JP Morgan Chase Bank, along with Bank of America. They all benefited from the slave trade. So that's what we're going to be talking about today on the live. Call in is 516-418-5867. If you want to call in tonight, 516-418-5867. Today we're talking about the four banks that robbed us during slavery. They contribute to the slave trade. That is Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Citibank, and J.P. Morgan Chase. All four of these banks, and there was other companies, of course, we'll talk about the other ones as well tonight, enslaved us and enslaved our ancestors and contribute to wealth. And they grew a lot of wealth because, of course, it was value to have a slave on your land, your property. Okay, so we'll get into that in a minute. And how these banks and basically has profited from slavery, and how we foolishly put our money into these banks, where the banks is able to grow, and yet they are not going to give black folks business loans. That's what we're talking about. The four banks who basically benefited from the slave trade: Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Citibank, and Chase. Okay, and so this is just a short list. There was others as well. And there was also other companies that benefit benefited from the slave trade. That's the reason why Wall Street is big like it is now, because we basically helped carry the weight for white people, Europeans in America and even in Europe. And now they're trying to say that we have not done anything, we have not worked for anything, and that we keep complaining about things. Well, it's easy for people who have not did anything to do that, who's profit off in other bodies, off in other people's labor and hard work. It's easy for white people to say that because they did not do anything but contribute to the slave trade, and as a result, that's the reason why they're in the present position that they're in. We're talking about people who didn't really do anything in life as far as benefit on anything, but now they got wealth and power. Okay, they got wealth and power. And they did that because of the slave trade. Sorry about that. They did that because of the slave trade. They were able to basically profit off in our slave hard work. And that's the reason why they're basically there. But they also mentioned from the Atlanta Black Star that there's 15 major corporations you should know about that also profited from slavery. The article reads that says that the enslavement of African people in Americas by the nation and people of Western Europe created the economic engine that funded modern capitalism. Therefore, it comes as no surprise that most of the major corporations that was founded by Western Europe, European and American merchants prior to roughly 100 years ago benefited directly from slavery. You see, they benefited directly. You had the Lehman Brothers, whose businesses empire started in the slave trade, recently amended their parts in the business of slavery. According to the Sun-Times, the now defunct financial service firm acknowledged that its founding partners owned not one but several enslaved Africans during the Civil War, okay, in the Civil War era, and that in all likelihood it profited significantly from slavery. Okay? The sad part of our heritage. We're deeply apologetic. It was a terrible thing. There's no one sitting in the United States in the year 2005, hopefully, who would ever in a million years defend the practice, said Joe Palizzotto, general counsel of the Lehman Brothers. Now, this they basically apologized back in 2005. Okay? And again, they promised that they were going to invest billions of dollars into the black community back in 2005 as a result of them participating in the slave trade. See, we got to force them, family, to give us this money that they owe us. We can't just keep talking about basically putting politicians in office, whether it be Democrats or Republicans, without talking about how we basically are only working for people. We're not supposed to be working for them. We're supposed to be doing business like we did during Reconstruction. Because as a result of our ancestors' free labor, we're not supposed to be basically working for white folk. You understand? We are native blacks. For those of us whose ancestry goes back to the killing fields of the American South, we are the ones who basically contribute to this country, and therefore the only thing that white people have offered us was jobs. You understand? And they keep on talking about they're going to put billions of dollars in the black community. Where is the money at? They said this back in 2005 when Bush was in office. Okay? Another company. Aetna Inc., the United States' largest health insurer, apologized for selling policies in the 1850s that reimbursed slave owners for financial losses when the enslaved Africans that they owned died. ATNA has long acknowledged for several years shortly after its founding in 1853 that the company may have insured the lives of slaves, says ATNA spokesman Fred LaBarge in 2002. We express our deep regret over any participation at all in deplorable practice, he said, end quote. You see, we got a lot of people out here, a lot of white folks out here, white-splaining and apologize, but they're not doing anything as far as giving us our resources. We'll get there to Wachovia in a minute, which is now called Wells Fargo. Oh, man, J.P. Morgan and Bank of America, all of them profited and benefited from our ancestors' hard work. Oh, we're going to get through all of this. And they have the nerves to tell us to go and put money foolishly in their banks. And they refuse to give us a business loan and a business line of credit. How dare these fools think that we should be so foolish to basically just go and just randomly put our money into their banks so that they can build up the white community and build and fix up the ecological system in their neighborhoods, and black folks go foolishly put their money into the banks, and they're not getting no benefit from it. And this is the kind of ignorance on black people's part. They also found out, on a side note, that there was skeletal remains found in Mexico that revealed stories of African enslavement 500 years ago in Latin America. In Mississippi, cemetery crews found 119 unmarked graves of enslaved Africans during maintenance work, you see? So slavery was a huge component in finding the skeletal remains of these people. Okay, finding the skeletal remains of these enslaved Africans are proof that Europeans owe us trillions of dollars in the American slave trade. Period. We can then have all look at all of the skeletal remains that they're finding now of enslaved Africans that could basically be a win in federal court. And you know that you have all of these conservatives talking about, well, you niggas don't deserve nothing. And then you got liberals out here pretending like they like black people. And even when you got Clinton and Obama in office, none of them did anything. We have to be honest with ourselves when we're talking about politics. Where is our Black Wall Street? Why have we not built back up Black Wall Street yet? During that time, in the 1900s, we only had about 21-something million black folks at that time in this country. Now we got double that amount, and we ain't done a damn thing since the Montgomery bus boycott. What is going on here? And I don't want to hear about, oh, they're not going to let us. Come on. We have been patronizing and helping every other race by ourselves. And this is foolish on our part. It is not racist just because you want to do business with other black people. They basically ran that con game for so long that, as Black Enterprise pointed out, by year 2053, black folks will not have no wealth at all. That little $1.3 trillion that we get every year mostly comes from the black middle class, the black athletes, the black entertainers, your billionaires like Oprah, and I know Robert Johnson is not no billionaire no more, but you got a few black people who basically are now, I think Robert Smith got 1.something billion, and these folks are talking about giving cash payments out. No, it's more to reparations than just cash payments. Because you don't want to aimlessly just give black folks money because they're going to just go out there and just give it back to their oppressors. And so, therefore, what you have to understand is that slave reparations have to be also about land and stocks in these companies. And it has to also be about the ownership of music and films, the catalogs of our major artists to help contribute to our economic and financial wealth in this country. We have to start now thinking in terms of ownership. And so the ideal here is that we got so much insurmountable proof, colossal proof, that white people benefited from the slave trade. That's the reason why their wealth is 10 times to our one. Okay? And then they up there talking about stop looking for handouts. And I told you yesterday in that commentary, what is entitlement? When white people go to the government and ask for entitlements, they ask it for handouts where they were able to get loans on their signatures. White boys are able to get loans on their signatures, but they're going to try to tell me as a black man that I shouldn't have no loan. You see, this is what we're talking about when we're talking about trying to keep us down, trying to oppress us. The ideal here is that these four banks that basically benefited in the slave trade, Wells Fargo, which was Wachovia at the time when they apologized in 2005, Bank of America, Citi, and Chase, your four major banks that basically was telling free slaves, okay? And we'll get to the Freeman Bank again, but I talk a lot about the Freeman Bank. But we'll talk about these four banks for a minute. We'll talk about how Chase told free slaves that, yeah, we'll let you niggers borrow money. But if you default on your loans, not only will I take your property, you're going to also be my property. And so I'm able to sell you again, along with you being a slave. I'm able to then make more money off of, you know, me flipping my property because there's a slave there on that property, on that land. And that's what is that how the accumulation of wealth grew for white people and Europeans here. That's the reason why you had a lot of immigrants that migrated from the European country, because, you know, they were becoming scarce, and they now came to the United States. You had people from Hungary. Remember Fox, who created Fox Movie, which is 20th Century Fox? They were all in the oil business and stuff like that. They basically profit, and now they build this huge conglomerate, and they're trying to tell us that we shouldn't be able to profit often of our hard slave, our hard-earned work. Well, you niggas go out there and you get a job. And then we got people out here, black folks foolish out here talking about, well, I got a $15 job. Oh, I'm blessed. I mean, it's just ignorant talk out here. No, you should be owning a business here because of the contribution here. And we all should be filing lawsuits in federal court because of these banks. Now let's go into all of these banks that contributed in the slave trade. New York Life. New York Life founded it as its predecessor was a Nautilus Insurance Company, sold slavehold policies during the mid-1800s. You see? Tiffany & Company was originally financed with profits from Connecticut cotton mill. The mill operated from cotton picked by slaves. I just told you about Aetna, okay, Brooks Brothers, Norfolk Southern Railroad. I think that road recently got sued by the feds. I think they really recently got sued because they were still with those slave kind of policies. It was one of those railroad companies. I don't know right now. But Norfolk had two companies, Mobile in Gallaudet in central of Georgia became part of Norfolk Southern Mobile and Garapay slave owners, 180 to rent their slaves to the railroad for that year. The central of Georgia owned several slaves. Bank of America, again, found the two of the predecessors' bank, Bolton Savings Institution and Southern Bank of St. Louis, had ties to slavery in another predecessor, Bank of Metropolis, accepted slaves as collateral on loans. I told you Bank of America and J.P. Morgan was the biggest players in having slaves as collateral, using them as collateral, okay? And when they defaulted on their loans, not only do I take your land, nigga, you're coming as well to work on the land and to be a slave. That is the raw history of these banks. And yet they're going to tell you that they basically is not going to give you a loan now. And we so still foolishly put our money in these banks. Well, you asked, well, what should we be putting our money in? Well, I'm glad you asked. We should be finding a black credit union, even though I don't like banks at all, but even a black bank, such as Citizen Trust Bank and other banks. And even though that I don't like banks because their laws and their policies, the state, the shareholders own and control the policies comes from the shareholders. But in a credit union, you are the shareholder. You are the person that basically when you buy shares in a credit union, you get more for your money. And so you're able to borrow from the credit union more over than you are a bank. And Amos Wilson taught us that banks retard black economic progress. There's a reason why they basically keep black folks in a segmented labor market here. And this is what your pastors and your preachers are not going to teach you. The black celebrities who have criticized Ice Cube, they're not going to educate you on this. These bought and paid for Negroes out here carrying water for white supremacy, they're not going to educate you as well like this. So Bank of America and Chase, J.P. Morgan, came up with that ideal. They basically said, no, I want the slave and the land if you default. The slave and the land if you default on your loan. Okay? And so that's what they keep on giving us. They keep on giving us these high loans and interest with interest where we can't pay it off on time. That's what happened in the subprime loans, where they were giving black people these high interest loans from the subprime mortgages where they cannot pay back and was able to then foreclose. They basically had to foreclose on their homes because these loans were too high. These loans were going past 30 years that a typical payoff for a loan they take. You understand? And then, of course, we have Wachovia, which is now called Wells Fargo, or Wells Screw-O, I like to call them. So Wells Screw-O, which when it was Wachovia, had two institutions that became part of Wachovia, Georgia Railroad and Banking Company and the Bank of Charleston, owned or accepted slaves as collateral on mortgage, property, or loans. Again, black folks as slaves were collateral in mortgage, property, and loans. That is evidence of the American slave, your ancestors were slaves, okay? That is what should be in our federal lawsuits against these banks. AIG, American International Group. AIG purchased American General Financial which owned U.S. life insurance company AIG, found documentation that the U.S. life insured the lives of slaves. Okay? So in other words, based upon how you lived, you see, it used to, it's now called life insurance policy. Okay? But at the time during slavery, it was not really used like that. You see, during slavery, the life insurance, your insurance was based upon how long you think or predicted that that slave will live while he's slaving on your plantation. Remember, I told you yesterday, that's the reason why I'm trying to ask black people that they claim that, you know, y'all went out there and voted for Biden. I'm trying to figure out, do y'all want a softcore white supremacist over a hardcore white supremacist? Is this why black folks went out there for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris? I'm trying to figure out what's going on here. You know, you got a lot of Negroes who's out here crying, talking about, I'm glad, you know, butt broken, like Van Jones. And the reason why Van Jones was out there butt dancing for his white paymasters is because he didn't want to be a part of the Trump plantation any longer. He thought that if I could get on the Biden plantation, that the Biden plantation will be less harsh on you as a slave. You understand? And so that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about our people's mentality still basically thinking as slaves, thinking as property, okay? And then, of course, J.P. Morgan. Now, J.P. Morgan reported and even admitted, in which they should be giving black folks loans, and well, not loans, but they should be giving us federal grants. Well, business grants, because J.P. Morgan Chase reported that between 1831 and 1865, two of its predecessor banks, Citizens Bank and Canal Bank in Louisiana, accepted approximately 13,000 slaves as loan collateral and seized approximately 1,250 slaves when plantation owners defaulted on their loans. Okay? Now we're talking about the plantation owners. We're talking about the white folks who couldn't afford it. So basically the bank said, well, okay, y'all can't afford it, so we're going to take your land, and then the slaves who are also working for you will take that, and the bank will own the property and the 13,000 slaves on that land, or 1,200 or 50 or whatever the situation may be have been. So we basically built Americans' wealth at the bottom all the way to while the present white generation is out here talking about that they worked hard. No, they didn't. The wealth that they accumulated came from their ancestors, where their ancestors did not give us our just due yet. It doesn't matter if you veto a bill and say, no, we're not going to give you no 40 acres and a mule. That bill is still a tender, a debt that is still owed to the American slave. Even in the sense, that this argument about, oh, well, all those people are dead that you hear white folks talk about, okay, well, you pass it on to their children. Because that's what they were going to do anyway. That's what they had to do. And you don't leave the money just laying around or whatever, and you don't take the money with you. Of course, you don't do that. No, you pass it on down to generations and generations, just like white people are doing now with their kids, giving them property and land that they inherited, like Donald Trump. He didn't have to really work for anything because of his father. The businesses that his father owned and passed to him, his father given him loans. As a result, that property that was passed on down, you see. So we have to be very careful to basically just get white folks education and think that we are just fully educated. We're not. We have to understand how they got to that particular position. And so therefore, that is where we are at this point. Now, CNN Money did an article on Wachovia, which is now called Wells Fargo. And it says that in 2005, that Wachovia apologized for slavery ties. But it's Wells Fargo. What is Wells Fargo doing for the black community now? And we'll get to Bank of America, who claims that they're going to pledge $1 billion to the black community. But where's the money that they are pledging? Okay, who is going to get the money? Of course, that's the biggest question. So it says that Wachovia Corporations had apologized for its ties to slavery after disclosing that two of its historical predecessors owned slaves and accepted them as payments. And this is a Charlotte, North Carolina-based Wachovia issue, a 111-page report to comply with a Chicago ordinance that requires companies that do business with the city to disclose whether they profited from slavery, which ended in the United States in 1865, although as though we thought. Because keep in mind, I think it's the 13th Amendment, one of the amendments that still allows slavery to happen if you're locked up. That's the reason why you had Kamala Harris in California using those women, the women and the men in prison to help put out wildfires in California. And their labor was doing for free because she used that amendment. Because America has not really got rid of slavery. When you go to prison, you still enslaved. You have to do work for free if they ask you to. On the behalf of Wachovia Corporations, I apologize to all Americans, especially to African Americans and people of African descent, said Ken Thompson, Wachovia chairman and chief executive officer, in the statement released late Wednesday. We are deeply saddened by these findings. Now notice that none of these banks, besides Bank of America, said that they were going to do anything because of the slave trade. You know, they only talked about investing in the black community when we forced them, when there's a lot of media coverage, and then when everything quieted down, we're like, well, who the hell got the money, okay? And it goes on to say that historians at History Factory, a research firm specializing in the corporate art, doing corporate work, founded at Georgia Railroad and Banking Company in the Bank of Charleston, institutions that ultimately became part of Wachovia through acquisition, owned slaves, Wachovia said in a statement. So the only reason why Wachovia had admitted back in 2005 that it owns slaves, specifically because if you do business with the city of Chicago, the ordinance was passed that you have to reveal if your company, you know, was involved in the slave trade. And Wachovia had to turn that over to the city to say, yes, in a 111-page documentation, our predecessors was involved in slave trade. They used slaves and all of this stuff, and that's how they, I guess, got their wealth. Well, of course, that's how they got their wealth. Okay? It goes on to talk about that Rackus revealed that Georgia Railroad and Banking Company owned at least 162 slaves, Wachovia said, and that the Bank of Charleston accepted at least 529 slaves as our collateral in mortgage properties or loans. The Bank of Charleston also required an undetermined numbers of people and customers defaulted on their loans. Okay? Again, this is our whole argument that we have a claim even if the ancestors are no longer with us. If the American federal government owe us money, will owe us a judgment in our favor because we got all of the proof and evidence. We reveal all these bodies of bones and stuff coming from these cemeteries and this land and all of them. These were people who were enslaved hundreds and hundreds of years ago. Look at all the proof. And when you go and tell white people this, they'll still try to say, well, even though that this is happening, they'll start white explaining as to why we shouldn't get anything. You niggas don't deserve nothing, and we'll give you jobs though. Okay, and then yet you got other people coming over here to the United States, benefiting from what we basically had, that we did, and they're profiting off of us. And then we hear this crap talking about that we're lazy, and then they come over here and they get all kinds of benefits. You got European people and immigrants coming all over the country, and they're basically, benefiting from our hard slave labor and work that our ancestors did, that we contribute. No one has a record like black folks of participating in every war this nation has had, okay, and therefore coming home like during the Civil War only to be lynched, coming home during World War II only to say, well, this is colored-only bathrooms. Come on, give me a break here. We're making our demands for slavery, and then they said that, well, we need proof. Hell, I'm giving it to you tonight. This is not going to be heard in your church. Okay? Wachovia, one of the biggest banks, Wells Fargo, rather, is black people basically helped Wachovia during slavery. And we're still helping Wachovia, Bank of America, and all these others, because we foolishly, like I said earlier, putting our money into these banks, where the banks are able to then create highways and byways so that they can then shut us out of the American so-called dream. And so therefore, we basically have to understand as black people that we can no longer afford to be living on less than 10% world, as a matter of fact. We're living on less than 10% out of every consumer dollar, and that's foolish. That's letting me know that somebody's mentality ain't got it. It's not there. As Dr. Claude Anderson points out, somebody's elevator ain't going all the way to the fourth floor. Okay? We have been basically told that we're living in a multiracial society, but everybody else is responding to their economic as it relates to ethnicity, and black people are not, okay? And I told you, a lot of us get a hard on just because we're sitting next to a white man eating a hot dog at a basketball game and thinking that it's multiculturalism. No. How many multicultural partnerships and businesses do you have? That's how you measure multiculturalism and multiculturalism. The idea here is that if we basically are getting hoodwinked by other people, and of course we see Asians moving into Africa and other parts as well, how they disrespect us, and we see our women going into these shops buying us weave and stuff and getting slapped all around by Asian men only to come back the next day and purchase some more weave. You got to understand what's going on here. You understand? In Chicago, where this happened is, they can't find a black store to get their nails done, their hair done. You got to go to a Chinese restaurant to eat food and stuff, and they had COVID all in their restaurants. We got to understand we're basically contributing to our own demise. Somebody talk black to me. Mm-hmm. We're contributing to our own demise. These four banks owe us more than just loans. They owe us federal grant money that should not be paid back. I won't say federal grants. I'll say bank grants, slave grants, whatever you want to call it. It doesn't matter. But they owe us grants that we shouldn't have to pay back. I don't want to hear no more about no damn loans no more. We're done with loans. Okay? It should now be money, grants. It should also be stocks in these companies. And it should also be ownership of our music catalog, owning our own film studios and things of that nature. So we just can't rely upon Tyler Perry. You know, it took Tyler, you know, a long time to get one of the biggest studios. That's the only studio that we got as black people. Being here 426 years, we should be embarrassed by that. You understand? We need more movie studios. We need more record label companies that own our own distribution. That is what's going to catch us up and close the wealth gap. Not going out here talking about no $13 job working for white daddy and white mommy. That's not going to do it. Oh, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I got me a job. That's foolish. A job is, your kids can't inherit a job. It's worthless of just having a job. So these people basically is telling us that we did not contribute at all. You know, I don't like that. And look at your children's textbooks that is coming home. Have you noticed that in your kids' history books that they're lying and stuff? Why is it that they have nothing as much as contribution to what we as black folks have contributed to this country? And then you wonder why your kids are not staying still in schools. And then, as Amos Wilson taught us, by the ninth grade, you got to drag them in there because they basically cannot sit there and be miseducated. Okay, by these teachers who don't know what the hell they're doing, that they're boring. They're basically is making education less fun. Now, Bank of America, we'll get to them in a minute. Okay, and so that's why your kids is acting a fool. They don't want to stay into a classroom so they can be miseducated. They're not learning about themselves at all. Dr. Carter G. Woodson and the Miseducation of the Negro, he gives the first introduction as to why your kids are not going to want to stay in school. He talks there about it. Okay, we have to understand that. We got to start understanding why doing business with each other is now has to be the norm now. It has to be the norm. Now, let's get to Bank of America. We're almost done here. Let's get to Bank of America. You see, because again, we got all of these people, when we called them out, about our reparations and our tangibles, and now you got Joe Biden out here talking about the black community has came through for him again. Now, that's out of his mouth, not mine. Remember, he said that. We're going to talk about that. Let me write that down so I won't forget that as I close out. Start hitting that like button. Hit that like button. I'm on Instagram, YouTube. Hit that like button and subscribe to the channel. Now, Bank of America is not basically trying to give us, or I will say let us borrow this $1 billion. It claimed that it pledged because of not slavery, but after George Floyd's death. I think back in, well, it said, well, in June the 2nd, 2020. So I don't know if it was after. I know that one of the banks, I think it was Bank of America, who said they were going to pledge $1 billion to the black community. But they're trying to basically ease us out of asking for our tangibles, pretending like they're going to ask us for our tangibles, I mean give us our tangibles. But yet what they're trying to do is they're trying to squeeze this vaccine on us. They're trying to basically say that this vaccine is something that we should be taking. And a lot of Negroes out here who don't know the history of the Tuskegee experiment and other types of things that were done on us, as far as also the AIDS virus, I did a whole entire commentary as to how that was created and how they killed that black doctor who exposed the AIDS virus as a government, created disease. Now they're claiming that they're going to pledge $1 billion to fight racial inequality. Okay? It says that Bank of America Corp pledged $1 billion over the next 4 years to address economic and racial inequality that worsens during the coronavirus pandemic. Now, see, here's the thing. They're using the pandemic as a way to basically say, well, we're going to contribute to the black community. Now, you got to understand, the trick bag is going to come, okay? The article goes on to say on Bloomberg.com that the funds will be directed to programs that focus on health, jobs, small businesses, and housing, particularly in communities with many people of color. You see that word? Many people of color. They always throwing out that of color thing. They're talking about black people, but in a sense, it benefits other races when it comes to money. But when they want to give us vaccines and all this stuff, oh, yeah, you niggers, yeah, y'all be the first in line. We got plenty of vaccines for you, even though it has not been, tested by any real doctors, because we don't know where the hell Dr. Fauci and Bill Gates, we don't know where the hell they come out of the blue. And we'll get to how they were very, very excited when Jim Crow Joe Biden won. They were so excited because, as I told you, the liberal politicians are real skillful and deceitful. Remember yesterday when I did the Grinch that stole the election, or the presidential selection, because the American people don't pick their president anyway. I told you how Jim Crow Joe Biden stole the election, but at the same time that Dr. Fauci and Bill Gates and your white elitists and these bought and paid for Negroes who become their collaborators, they all are excited that Trump is gone, because now it's time to put in the plan of this vaccine that you all are going to get. So if you are a black person, you're with Biden, that's fine, okay? But just tell me how you're going to fight this vaccine that they're fit to give you. That's all I want to know, okay? You basically like Joe Biden, fine. I'm not fit to argue with that, okay? That's your prerogative, and that's your decision. But I'm going to ask you, what are you going to do when they come and give you that vaccine? And they always start in the hood first, okay? Remember, they start in the hood. They first give you all they gave y'all that what you call that, the economic stimulus package and things, all that nature and all that. They're going to start out with another one of them, and the next thing you know, they're going to come and ask y'all to take these free coronavirus tests like they deal with the AIDS virus. And we're learning now that the HIV AIDS virus tests had not been standardized, that they were targeting false positives and false negatives. And so we look at this as a whole, that black people keep on falling for the trap. Okay, so the article goes on to read that the funds will be directed towards programs that focus on health, jobs, small businesses, and housing, particularly in communities with many people of color. They're talking about you black folks, us black folks, the bank said in a statement. Those efforts may include virus testing, okay, virus testing. Remember, let me give you a science note that you all didn't study in science while you were sleeping in the back of the class chewing on crayons. When you know what virology is? Virology is when it is man-made. It's another term for man-made disease. That is what virology. So when they say virologists and all these people, these are scientists that are in the government that is experimenting with germ warfare. When they call themselves a virologist, you got to understand that. So Bank of America is pledging billions of dollars, $1 billion, not to put it in a sense of dealing with helping us getting our tangibles and our reparations, or even giving us a loan for that matter. They want to put it into health and jobs and giving us these testing. It goes on to say that those efforts may include virus testing and other health services, partnerships with colleges, support for small minority-owned businesses, and recruitment in disadvantaged communities. This is their wording all the time. Minority-owned businesses, disadvantaged communities, all of those words signal that they're talking about anybody. Minority-owned business. What is a minority? You see, these words that they play games with us with. But note, they're going to give you those virus testing because they want to basically continue to see how it will work on black folks. It is crushing to see the level of civil unrest and the deep wounds in our society, Vice Chairman Ann Fuqua-Kane said in an interview Tuesday after meeting with the company's black and Latino employee groups. It's a very raw moment, but you have to engage. You see, they don't went and grab some Negroes from within in their company and had them sit down at a table. And they was like, yes, boss, you know, you should play it there. Very good, boss. See, they do this all the time with us, not giving us our reparations, however. Saying, you know, and I told you, every major white company have their own black in-house flunky Negroes who is always the one. Have you ever been on your job and you had that these Negroes who basically, when you get in trouble, they might have set you up or whatever. Nobody wants to talk to you and stuff like that. You figure out that one of these Negroes that came and snitched on you or something like that. Listen, when you get in trouble at your job, you always got those Negroes who basically know what was going on. And they basically right there with white mommy and white daddy, making sure that they got all the information on you, okay? That's the reason why it's hard now for you to get a federal lawsuit in federal court, because they're going to come and they will basically threaten your witnesses, which is against the law, by the way. And if you participate in basically testifying against the company, oh, they're going to get you out of there, okay? Now, the law says you have a right to sue as well, but don't think that after you finish testifying that you're going to be there a long time, because they're going to say that you are a liability, is what they call it. But anyway, it goes on to say that executives from almost every major bank in the investment firm have spoken out about the death of George Floyd. Now, this is back in June when we was up rising, having this civil unrest out in the streets. An unarmed black man at the hands of Minneapolis police last week. Floyd's killing and other fatal police encounters have sparked global protests, as well as violence and looting in the U.S. in the finance industry. It's prompted discussion about racism and whether companies are doing enough to improve diversity in their workforce and business buildings. Okay? So they're trying to white-splain our agony and pain. Okay? Not give us our reparations, not giving us our cancels. Okay? And so finally, speaking of that, let's go to Jim Crow Joe Biden. Understand? You dig? Because it was Jim Crow Joe Biden who said that the black people have came through for him again. Right? That's what he said. He said, once again, black Americans have came for him again. And these are your older black people, who's, of course, worried about their social security check and all this old stuff. This is big. But I don't, I'll be honest with you, I don't know if a lot of black folks came out for Jim Crow Joe Biden. I really don't understand. Now, knowing that Kamala Harris, of course, will be the first woman of color, as she says, because at first she was running on it, she was a black woman, but now she's running on that she's an Indian woman, and then when she's talking now, she's a woman of color. So, now I know that she's Jamaican and Indian, but, you know, she basically is playing her cards towards Indian people. But in Joe Biden's victory speech, he basically said that the black community have came through for him again. Now, this is despite the fact of the 1994 crime bill where he locked a lot of black men up, not to mention his vice president and her record of locking both black men and black women up and laughing about it. So the question now for Joe Biden is, what is he going to do for black folks? Is he gonna meet with Ice Cube and other people who are experts in giving us our tangibles? Or is he gonna do like Bill Clinton, apologize with this fake apology on slavery and not do anything but try to think that he's acting black by saying I smoke weed but I didn't inhale? You understand? The ideal here, this is the thing here. It says in this article that 29 presidents ago, America kicked the state of Georgia out of the United States for killing black elected officials and the black voters who put them in office. 10 presidents ago, the country was still killing black voters. This morning, the entire country sat in suspend animation, waiting to see if there were enough black folks to save America from America. You see, this is the situation. Let's say that if Jim Crow Joe Biden did get all of these particular situations, these folks, what is his Lift Every Voice plan doing for black people, or going to do for black folks? When can we get the call from Kamala Harris and Jim Crow Joe Biden on this meeting that he was supposed to do after he won the election from our brother Ice Cube? Is he going to do it? I don't believe he is. I believe that now, since he stole the presidential selection, is that he's going to, as he already said, for the first 100 days in office, it's going to be gays, LGBT rights, transsexual bathrooms. You understand? And yet, the black folks who came out for him, oh, Jim Crow Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, is going to look like fools again, because although he said that you came through again for him, and that's the question, why do black folks always coming through for white people all the time? And yet we see that they have not done anything in exchange for our hard-earned work and ability to help them run their companies. A little promotion here and there, a little, you know, recommendation to work at another business or whatever, should you be fired or something. No. We want our tangibles. And yet, they're saying instead of giving you tangibles, we're going to set up COVID-19 facilities so that you niggas can go over there and you can basically, you can get tested. Why? Because these tests, despite the fact that they're not standardized like the HIV/AIDS test button, you're going to still have black folks going in and say, I got to get tested because what? White daddy and white mommy said I have to. And I'll be damned if they come talking about me taking a vaccine. Of course, I am not going to be in up on the evening news, but if they try to force me to take some vaccine, I guess I'm going to have to go ahead and be featured on the evening news. Somebody talk black to me. Jim Crow Joe Biden, just like all of the rest of these people who claim that they for black people, like Clinton and all these other, what's that man's name, Obama. All of them behind closed doors helping to basically engage in our demise. Look at Dr. Fauci. I call him Dr. Slouchy and Bill Fakes, both of them. And by the way, we told you about Planned Parenthood, where Bill Gates' father sat on the board of the Planned Parenthood organization and helped to make sure that 41 million babies were aborted for black women, who basically, ever since that they pretty much had this in office, I think in the 1900s when it started. So we have to be very careful to allow white people to experiment on us, because we've seen how the Tuskegee experiment had done us. We've seen what they did with the HIV/AIDS virus and what they're doing now with cancer and giving us all these and putting all this stuff in our food. We have to be very, very careful in going to the hospital now, because the hospital has been their major base of murder and killing for profit. The vast majority of people who go to the hospital with a pain in their leg end up dying for no apparent reason. They've already told you about the, what you call them, ventilators that they want you to use for COVID. And as many patients that they get, that doctors like Dr. Fauci gets thousands and thousands of dollars, and he gets paid, each doctor gets paid $1,300 or $27,000 for every patient there. We're talking about white elitists and their black bootlicking flunkies who is basically contributing to our demise. So this all goes into talking about what the elitists want. And I know we're getting off the subject here, but the banking industry also is a part of this as well. Their elitists are also sitting on the bank, on the board of these elitists. We have big time industry banks sitting on there, and all of them are basically behind closed doors. That's the reason why black people in America, you can't get nothing done from the politicians, because the politicians cannot. You're not you. they don't basically represent the constituency no more. They represent only the people who basically have the money. And black people do not finance politicians. You just go out there and just say, do you vote? Get your vote? Yeah, you get your vote. And then you see how they turn their backs on you after you go and elect them. But if you look at the four major banks, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Citi, and Chase, millions and millions of dollars go through that bank all the time. And yet, they have yet spent less than, I want to say, 10% of business loans, even less, probably 5% of business loans are given to black people. They engage in all kinds of redlining in these banking industries where black folks can't get a loan, even with good credit. And so, therefore, that's redlining, but it's also show you the racial discrimination that these banks are doing. And yet, you try to educate your people on saying, okay, well, go to a credit union instead. Go find a black credit union, and then you don't trust them. And it's like, wait a minute, a lot of them are also insured. Okay, that's very important. So, for instance, or you can buy insurance like you can on stocks and mutual funds, when you get an IRA account, you can put insurance on that as well. So, why not go and try to help a black credit union or even start a black credit union? We have to probably start a black credit union as black people as well, because we don't have that many. But we must start the black credit union, because back in the 1920s and 40s, that's what black people did, because white folks were so racist back then, is that we had to bring our money together, and we created in North Carolina and other states, black credit unions, and these credit unions was able to finance our businesses. And that's how we built Wall Street up. We basically, in the 1920s, of course, in Oklahoma, where you had Greenwich and all these other types of Wall Streets that we had, and Wilmington, Delaware, where Jim Crow Joe Biden is, we had a financial district that was strong and was powerful. Black people were not even needed. We didn't have to go into the white neighborhoods to spend money, because we had it all in our communities. Okay? We had banks right here. We had churches right there, schools, and stores and restaurants. We had it all there. And now we basically is giving all of this away out of the foolishness and the craziness that we're living in a multicultural society. The hell we are. Folks, everybody is basically reacting to their economic situation based upon ethnicity. They don't give a damn about anything else but who their race and what their race is doing and making sure that their people is surviving the next century. Black folks out here, did you vote? Did you vote? Did you go out and vote? Hell no, I ain't go out and vote. What are you talking about, fool? I'm out here talking about business, building finance, contributing to a lot of books that would help increase, listening to people like Dr. Boyce Watkins, who have a business school education seminar, Amos Wilson, who taught us about economics, John Henry Clark, our sister Frances Crest Wellesley. You got to go back to your old heads and get some information there. Not sit around talking about you're going to college and then you're in debt because you waste yourself your time on a degree that was not worth a damn. You got a lot of teachers, of course, because of COVID, that have lost their jobs and now is living in shelters now. Okay, the American educational system is changing. The dynamics of the financial system is shifting. are shifting certain places across the country. You got Chinese people. China is so heavily packed and populated. Over 2 billion of Chinese people, and they're looking to find ways in other places where the Chinese people can get the hell out of China, and they can explore, and they can build up an economic and global system. And if somebody try to even think about treating them like they're going to be a minority, China goes immediately to the U.S. president and say, hey, what's going on with our citizens right here? You see, we don't have that as black folks. And so we got to stop this playing around and this foolishness, or are we going to be back on the slave ships again? The ideal here that these banks owe us money. It's not the fact that they basically going to give us. That's not the point. But you have Jim Crow Joe Biden out here who said, I'm going to do something for the black community with this Lift Every Voice plan. Okay? And, of course, they're going to throw out these damn loans again, and they're going to give you high interest rates again, and you're going to default. How different is that? That they gave the same thing to us during slavery. Understand? We set up the Freedmen's Bureau, and white people were able to contribute to bank loans that were supposed to be set up by the freemen, I mean, for free slaves. You know, when Frederick Douglass, he was brought in to be the president of the Freedmen's Bureau and the Freedmen Bank, and basically, you know, saying they again, let white daddy come in and tell them how they run it, and before you know it, everything collapsed. Just like these bougie Negroes that basically, when they went to Morehouse, they had the bourgeoisie Negroes running that, took and mismanaged the finances and all that. Now you see Morris Brown over there struggling. Because we keep on allowing the bourgeoisie Negroes to come in and destroy everything. When are we going to have grassroots people who, by the way, possibly went to school or college, but yet is not fearful to take on anybody when they sit in the role position and then going after for us or being for us in our interest? When are we going to start having some balls here? You got Butt Brook and Van Jones talking on CNN, you know, crying in front of white men and women. I'm like, dude, it's easy to be a parent now. And immigrants and the dreamers, they don't have to worry about if your president don't want you. Dude, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? You're up here crying because a president is saying we don't want that illegal people in our neighborhood when you know that they have not done a damn thing for black folks, and you're crying for somebody else? And this is the foolishness. This is what Dr. Claude Anderson talked about when he talked about the inappropriate behavior. You out here crying for other people who don't give a damn about you. And this is what black folks' problem is. Okay? These people don't care about you. As Dr. Claude Anderson points out, they're over here to replace you. Tariq Nasheed talks about the tethered people. People who have abandoned their own economies to replace American blacks in their community. Wake up and smell the damn coffee. Damn. We are basically contributing to our own demise. And of course, we're going to stay with this banking stuff. These people owe us Wells Fargo. They should be having a black financial plan for us. Well, screw up, which used to, like I said, Wachovia, Bank of America, Citigroup, and Chase. They should have a pledge not to give us billions of dollars talking about no damn corona vaccine. You can keep your vaccine. In fact, they should be telling these people in Europe and China to take it, not us. because that's where it came from, and it went over there to the European countries, and now all of a sudden it's over here in the black community, which is their real target in the first place, just like the HIV/AIDS virus was. You understand? I did a whole commentary on the history of the AIDS virus. Remember, I told you that Dr. Fauci, the one that you all who are claiming to be liberal, y'all love these liberals so much. Dr. Fauci had sat on the same board than Dr. Robert Gallo, who is now 80 years old. Robert Gallo had made him and his partner who created the AIDS virus have made millions and billions of dollars off of the medicine and the murder of people who died from AIDS virus. And at the time, because I told you, when you create a disease, you're called a virologist, okay? And both of them, along with this French doctor, Maillotin, however you say his name, they both basically created the HIV virus. And then now you've got Dr. Fauci, who was sitting on the same board with Dr. Robert Gallo, who both created the AIDS virus. And here, now you've got Dr. Fauci and Bill Gates coming out. And the reason why Robert Gallo, who was behind closed doors, of course, the reason why he can't do anything, because man is 80 years old now. So he passed that on to Dr. Fauci, of course, who's almost close to the same age, but he's in perfect health. You see, the white elitists, they live to 80 and 90 years old because they don't get the same kind of treatment that we get as black people. They don't get the same type of medication that we get. They basically have studied us so much that they have been able to master how to live longer than us. And so you got to understand that. So the same doctors, Dr. Fauci, he sat on the board with Dr. Robert Gallo, and both of them was into virology. Now, Dr. Robert Gallo is a virologist, and Dr. Fauci is not. Bill Gates is not a doctor. Okay? So you got white men and women who basically are part of the elitists saying that this is how we're going to depopulate the country. We're going to first use it against these niggers because they're the one who is vulnerable. And you're going to take this vaccine, and this vaccine is going to kill you. When you had a Republican president saying to you, okay, well, we don't trust this, and I'm not for Trump. I'm just saying this is what he was saying. You know, it's not safe. You got to make sure the vaccine's safe. And this is the reason why the Democrats stole the election, because Dr. Fauci knew that Joe Biden is a part of these private people behind closed doors, okay, who basically are all in cahoots of making sure that this vaccine is available quick, and give it to people so they can kill some folks off. We're talking about depopulation, folks. Stop playing games here. Aaron Jones, Kamari Sellers, what's this other dude's name? B-Ray McKeeson, Kanye West. But broken Negroes, that's tomorrow on the Liar Anderson Show. Let me get out of here, man. Let's see.